asked a question. He says, what is a daddy? And he says, well, he says, that's a man that carries pictures where the money used to be. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to celebrate Father's Day. Being Father's Day, we're going to spend the morning looking at what God has to say to fathers, women, and children in the real chain of command that He has put forth. We need to recognize that a born-again Christian's father of this church and of the world, and recognize the honor that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us. On Mother's Day now, I usually preach a message on love and how we're blessed that we have a godly wife. And we do. And that's a blessing. I have a very godly wife. But in doing so, I probably say some things that doesn't make men too happy. On Father's Day, it's not much different. I will say some things, get this now, from the Word of God, not from me, that may not make ladies too happy. And all I ask is don't shoot the messenger, because this is a message from the Lord. As you know, I try to be very careful always to use scriptures and not opinions. But when studying the Word of God, we need to keep one thing in mind. That is, when it comes to the scripture, it is the Word of God is true. No matter how fervently you and I might disagree with it, we're told in no uncertain term that God is always right. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy saying, that thou mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now with this in mind for this morning, let's turn with me, if you will, to our text, which is going to be Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at 21 through chapter 6, verse 4. Very familiar on a Father's Day. But again, don't forget, we're going to look at the chain of command God has given us. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21, says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now in chapter 6, he goes on to deal with the kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on this earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of being able to stand behind this pulpit this morning and to share your word with our folks today, Lord, and those that are listening. I pray that your will be done this morning and this service would glorify you. I thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at this church for all you've allowed us to accomplish here I pray for each of us, every father, here this morning or listening this morning, that we all live up to the expectations your spiritual Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, has set for us. For those facing hardships in their lives, I pray that you would be with them, for our country and its leaders. Now I ask you to put a hedge around this church. Protect and bless each of us here. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. Then we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Now, you know, the only way you and I are going to understand, will ever truly understand the position of men, women, and children in the eyes of God, is going back to the beginning and look what God's Word has to say on the subject. Turn with me to Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. Says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, you see, as we read on in Genesis, the Bible also says in Genesis 2:18 that after he had created Adam, something was missing. In Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. So God created a woman for Adam. She was for Adam. She was from Adam. And he gave her for Adam the wife. She was a gift of God to Adam. Now God knew that all men would need someone to comfort and love him, be his companion when he's weary and discouraged. Now I believe this is why God gave her a type of love that reflects his love. A love that is tender, unselfish, something most of us guys don't have. I'm sorry, guys just don't have the love of a woman. My wife, I couldn't, Mark will attest to this, her love is just beyond my comprehension, you know? But this is not to take away from the woman's individuality, but if you notice, God did not create her from the dust and breathe breath into her life like he did Adam. He created her to be a part of Adam, from a part of Adam. And as we look at it, we can see that God first created man for himself. Adam was created for God. And look at Genesis 1:6. And God said, let us make man in our own, after our own likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Sorry about that, Peter. Later on, we find that the woman coming in, find a woman coming into the picture in 18, of course. We read that there a minute ago. And the Lord said, he is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Then he created Eve. Genesis 2:21-25. Here's how it actually happened. Verse 2, Genesis 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, God took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her to man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So the world says that man and woman, I mean, when the world says that men and women were created equal, they are not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Man was created from the dust and breath was breathed into his life. Woman was created from man for man. This is not the same thing. Now, of course, we all do have spiritual equality. If we're here this morning and you're born again, You have the same Holy Ghost in the lady as you have in the man. There is no separation. No separation between man and woman and child when it comes to spiritual birth. But the woman still has a different origin than man, and both must be willing to follow God's Word. And as we begin our text for this morning, we'll see that in Ephesians 5, it pretty well spells out the responsibility of both men and women. And then in the beginning of chapter 6, it brings in the children. As we look at these verses, we see that three verses in Ephesians 5 are pertaining to the woman's responsibility. There's three verses relating to the children's responsibility. Two verses relating to both men and women. But we find there are a total of nine verses pertaining to the men's responsibility. Now, we're going to start off with the kids since Mark's here this morning. No, not really. That's the way it is. But we'll start off with the children's responsibility. It's by far the most simple thing to explain. It says in Ephesians 6:1, turn there if you would, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now it's their responsibility to obey both father and mother. The problem is the liberal world today is teaching our children that they have the same rights as parents. Again, they forget to read the Bible. A few years ago in Crestline, when I was pastoring there back in the late 90s, the teachers, even back then, were telling the children, now if your parents or your grandparents spank you, call the police and they'll put them in jail. They brought that to church with them. He says, now you can't touch me or I'm going to call the cops. It just breaks your heart, you know. But it was really hard to believe and hard to hear that. But let me read a few verses from the Word of God about the parents' responsibility to disciple their children. See, you all have to understand, yeah, our government, our liberal world is telling our children that. But why aren't the parents raising these children in a godly way? Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is still hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Never bothered me when Mark cried. Did it, Mark? Nope. It did. It hurt. You always hate to see your children cry. You really do. But then in Proverbs 22, it gives us a reason. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15, the rod in reproof giveth wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, if more parents would do, as it says in Deuteronomy, and I don't have the verse right here in front of me, but you know, it tells us back in Deuteronomy that we should teach our children from the time we get up in the morning, all day long till the time we go to bed. We should have it written on our doorpost. From morning to night, we should be teaching. There's no reason why a parent can't go out, tell their kid, hey, look at that tree. God created that tree. God created those bushes. God created those flowers. God created those animals. But the problem is that we are not all of us, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm so proud of Cliff and Missy that have their children in college and raised them right. But there are so many that don't. So many in this world that do not do that. And there's parents in this world today that are actually afraid of their own kids. You know that? That's sad. And if they claim in the next couple of decades that kids as young as 10 and 12 will become the biggest threat to society. Think about that. I mean, what's going on right now? We got kids going into school and shooting other kids. This MS-13, probably most of those guys aren't much older than 12 or 15. Now, I'm not saying that some children would not turn out bad anyhow. There are some kids that are going to turn out bad. But let me tell you what, how much better this world would be, how much safer the world would be, how much safer our schools would be, like I said before, if we still had God patrolling the hallways, we still had the kids believing there is a God, that we didn't come from a monkey. So the next thing we're going to look at is what God says about the responsibility of a godly woman. Now again, there's no tomatoes we're allowed in today. No fresh fruit of any kind were allowed. But these are three verses that pertain to women's godly responsibility as laid out not by your preacher, not by your husband, but God himself, the one that never changes. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. He isn't going to change just because we don't like it. In verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife." Boy, wouldn't that get the liberals today? It says, "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything." Now, I will throw this in, that if you have if the husband is worldly and asking you to do something that is ungodly, we have an exception to that. Peter said, you know, that we'd rather obey Christ than the law. So, you know, I'm not telling women that if you got some guy, got some husband wants you to drive the car while he holds up the bank, I don't think you need to submit to that. Okay? You may want the money too, but don't submit. Okay? But God made it very plain that the only way we could change any of these things is to rewrite the Bible. Now, we snicker at that, right? But don't laugh, because that's what's going on. There's Bibles that right now refers to God as a woman. Think about that. But I'm going to quote from that Bible. It says something like, "And God did what she wanted." Can you imagine that? That Bible's, I don't know how well it is or how, you know, how big it is. But we'll just get off of that. But trust me, there's Bibles out there that'll take care of the sodomites, that'll take care of everybody. And it's written by the liar, the great liar himself, Satan. Now, for lack of time, I'm going to simply read a scripture God has given us on godly women. In 1 Timothy 2:9, says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." Now, you know, I said something about last week, I didn't know what the Me Too movement is. I checked it out. I know what it is. Okay? But let me tell you what, in my opinion, now I'm going to give you an opinion, okay? A worldly woman will always dress to attract men. Now, if you're dressed to attract a man, if you've got all this barn paint on and you've got these short skirts on and you've got these tight clothes on, trust me, a man is going to look. He is going to look. But if you were dressed modestly, let me tell you, it's not near. It doesn't draw the attention of a man near as quickly. So women in today's world, they're asking for this. I'm not saying it's right, okay? No way am I saying that a man should molest a woman. Absolutely not. He should have enough integrity to control himself. But biblically speaking, a godly woman should always wear modest clothes. And I praise the Lord, our ladies do here. In today's world, the majority of the women would disagree with this. You look at these little 10, 12, 14-year-old girls out there today. They wear shorts that don't even look like they got anything on. And they wonder, why do boys look at me like that? Mom ought to tell them. Mom, Dad, it's your responsibility to tell them, put on some clothes. But anyhow, let's go to verse 2. Ephesians 5:21, I'm sorry. We see the next two verses deal both with men and women. Man, I'm going to have to keep moving here. It says in Ephesians 5:21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, a man and a woman need to submit themselves in the fear of God. Why in the fear of God? Because God tells you to. That's as simple as it is. You can make it. Men and women need to submit to each other because God demands that we do. Between you and me, God knew man understood and understood that if he had not put this verse in the Bible, many men would be just like they are in the Middle East. They'd still be beating their wives and but all through the Bible, and never once does the Bible give us an example of a godly man doing anything but honoring his wife. Take, for instance, Abraham. His wife referred to him as Lord. I asked my wife again this morning if she would do that, and she says, not in this world. I says, okay, I'm just asking. But his wife did refer to him as Lord because he was the head of the house. Nevertheless, when she did not get along with Hagar, which was because of her own fault, and wanted to get rid of her, again, another reason God has said one man, one woman. He says, and they shall be one flesh. Not two fleshes, not three fleshes, not four fleshes, one flesh. Abraham respected his wife and sent Hagar away. His only son Esau. Now that would not have been easy, but that's what his wife wanted. So he compromised with his wife. I think it was a great example for what men and women ought to be doing. Now then in Ephesians 5:33, God gives orders to both the man and the woman. Look at Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. We're supposed to love our wives as we love ourselves. I've never slapped myself, have you? You know, and any woman, any man that slaps a woman, he ought to have five guys there just whooping. But anyhow, then it says, even as himself. And then the last word, wife, see that you reverence your husband. If you've got a godly husband, reverence him. It's a command. You see, it all boils down to loving one another and respecting one another. That's all it boils down to, folks, is love. Now, lastly, we see what God has to say about the responsibility of the man of the house. Now, we know TV has taken away the man of the house. He now has the kids running the house. He has mom running the house and dad looking like a doofus. That's a sad, sad story. That's been going on for several years. Several years. But God has given the man the authority. And with that authority, along comes the responsibility. Fathers, you and I will be held responsible for how we raise our family. We're going to be held responsible for how we treat our wives. We are one day going to stand before the Almighty God. And I'll tell you what, if you're slapping your wife around, well, chances are you aren't going to be at the judgment seat of Christ anyhow. You know? But there will be a judgment. It is the responsibility that all men absolutely will be held accountable. Now, we're obligated to love our wife with the same love that Christ loved his church. Now, Christ loved the church enough to die for us, right? Would you die for your wife? It says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I don't think God is going to ask us to give our life for our wives. But I think if it came to a choice between me and her, I think I'm not the bravest guy in the world. But I think I'd stand between me, between her, and the danger. Yeah. You'd have to. If you're going to be a man, you'd have to. Next, we find in the Word of God that he has also laid on man the responsibility of following Christ and doing exactly what Christ is, not what we think, there shouldn't be any question what a man does when he reads the Word of God, whether you like what it says or not. You just do it. It's like at home. When Jeannie says to do something, I just do it. I say yes, dear. Well, see, that's basically what God is asking us men to do. Is just say, yes, sir. I will do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. And here's the reason for it. You and I, men, are responsible. Have the responsibility of the church. You see the men in churches today, you'll see the responsibility leaning more and more and more towards women. Women are doing this. Women are doing that. Women even want to call themselves preachers, which you can't do that. That's totally against the Word of God. But I'm telling you, men are turning into a bunch of wimps when it comes to the church. I'm sorry. We got some great men in this church, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but you look around at churches today, men are just not there. When you look for volunteers, you get 10 women's hands goes up. Yeah. And the men kind of look at their toes. But see, you and I have the responsibility. You and I have a responsibility to keep this church and all the churches. Men are responsible for the church. Look at Ephesians 5:26-27. Now, the reason he says that is that you and I keep the church on the straight and narrow is so that Christ can present to the Father. It says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by his word, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be a holy and without blemish. Christ wants to present this church to himself as a perfect church. Tonight we're going to be talking about the church at Sardis. And we're going to see churches kind of like the world today. But let's get back to our text. We have to love our wives. Moving on to Ephesians 5:28-29, once again we see we're commanded to love our wives. Husbands, listen. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, just like we love ourselves, men, if we do nothing to hurt ourselves, we should never do anything to hurt our wives. Words can hurt. I'm telling you, men, words can hurt. And this is coming from a guy that knows that. A guy that has used words to hurt. And I'm not saying that I'm proud of it. I'm saying that I now realize. You watch our mouths when it comes to our wives. Lastly, the last part of the text here this morning. We are a part of the body of Christ and are members of the family of God. So we need to act that way, guys. Look at verse 30. Since we are members of his body, that's Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Now, You know, there is a mystery between the man and the maid. But in this particular case, Paul is speaking, the mystery he's speaking about is concerning Christ and the church. So there are a couple mysteries out there, and I can understand that. But this, he says, but I'm speaking. I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, God expects us men to act like men and treat our wives with the respect that she deserves. Now, the one thing that we all must remember, men, authority brings responsibility. We are responsible to God for our family, for their training. Trust me, guys. Mama's not going to stand up and give account for how the kids were raised. We will. Whether we've done good or whether we've done bad. Not saying we won't be saved, that we won't stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but our reward, there's rewards for how we raise our children. We're responsible to God for our family, our spiritual training. And the training that comes from our examples, folks. If our spiritual attitude is not a servant, then you can never expect your children to become a servant. As we used to say down home, it just ain't going to happen. If you set an example of being worldly, your children will be worldly. You set an example of being a good Christian, let them cry. Let them scream. Put them in a car and take them to church. I remember before I was gone to church, Jeannie was always taking the kids to church. They're saying, why do I have to go when Daddy don't go? That was a good question to be asked. But I think there's still fingernail scratches on the door up there. Well, Salem's mom drugged the boys. But once they got to church, they were fine. But she did my job during that particular time. But you understand, man, if we don't put God first in our lives, neither will our children. If we do not come to every service, don't expect your children to do anything any different. Don't even expect them to come at all, because if you have taught them the church comes second. Little League's first, you know, soccer's next. You know, if there's a soccer game going on Sunday night, you can't go to church because there's a soccer game going on. Trust me. That ain't going to work out too well either. Your children's chances are pretty slim if the only time we act like a Christian is on a Sunday morning. If you don't take the responsibility to raise them in a Christian home, you'll probably lose them to the world. And you're going to say, why did they go bad? Why are they living a worldly life? Because that's what you taught them. When God speaks about provoking our children, He's not talking about making them mad. You see, I never really cared if my kids were mad at me. I didn't like it, you know. But if I thought I was doing the right thing, I did it. My children could have been mad as they wanted. But they did what Dad said. And I believe they're better off for it. I got three great kids. Two in the service of the Lord. And I love them for that. Two out of three is not bad. The other one is, I believe he's saved. But he married out of the religion. You marry out of your well, religion's a terrible word to use. There's all kinds of religions. But if you marry out of your faith, you've got problems. But anyhow, we're not going to get into that. But guys, let me tell you, in closing, don't think that it's your wife's responsibility to do these things. Now, there are a lot of things that women can do for men because they are helpmeet, and I praise God for that. But men, we have a responsibility to be loving. We have a responsibility to respect our lives. We need to commit ourselves to our wives as Christ committed Himself to